Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters spring forth abundantly, the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God created great wells in every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful portion of Scripture. It was a joy to read it out loud. I was thinking as I was reading, I'm so glad that young people have a place to come, like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, where they can hear Genesis chapter 1 read and understand that what they're being taught in their science class in the public school is a lie, and a lie of the devil, that we did not evolve. There wasn't some big bang. There wasn't millions and millions and billions and billions of years. Lord, thank you that we can read in the Bible about a creator that designed and planned and made everything we see around us. Lord, I pray that we would give you the glory that you deserve for being our creator. Thank you for this unique chapter. Lord, thank you for the very practical Bible principles we're going to teach from it this morning. I pray, Lord, that these will be foundational to us as we go into a new year. Help us, Lord, to live for you and to be successful in all that you've called us to do and to accomplish. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. Well, this is the first Sunday of a brand new year. We have 52 unlived, unsoiled weeks ahead of us. Each of those weeks will require us to do some necessary but mundane things. Each week will require us to fulfill certain responsibilities. But I want to also say this, woven together, all of those weeks can produce amazing accomplishments and unforgettable moments as we live out God's will for each of our lives. Each week and each day holds the potential, thank you, the potential to change eternity, to alter destinations, and with God's help to achieve impossibilities. Amen. I'm excited about a brand new year. Now, God took time and he divided them into days and then into weeks. He did this on the first week of creation. And I think God did that very purposefully. Many people, and I've heard this advice, and I understand it, and I think it's good advice, but many people advise you, live one day at a time. And you know what? I wouldn't argue that. But I'd like to add to that this suggestion that you will be more successful living each day at a time if you'll live them in the context of a well-planned week. A well-planned week. As a preacher, why do you believe that that's important? I believe this is true because this is how God introduces time to us in the first two chapters of the Bible. We get to see, think about this, we get to see God live out a week. Live out a week. Now show me any other place you can go to in the Bible and get a detailed description of what God did every day for seven solid days. In this, these two chapters are very unique. And I think God laid this out as the first two chapters in the Bible because there's something he wants to teach us on how to live productively and how to live a successful life. So I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, a week in the life of God, a week in the life of God. I want you to understand that I understand that God is an eternal God. I'll never forget when I was sitting at the back out there one day and was shaking hands at the end of our morning service, one of our little bus girls came through and she looked up at me and said, "Can I ask you a question so serious?" And I said, "Yes." And I knelt down beside her and she said, "I know when I was born and I know that other people know when they were born, but when was God born?" And I thought to myself, boy, this girl has given some serious contemplation to this. And it was so much fun to sit down and as best I could explain to that little girl that we have an eternal God. Folks, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know what? There's never been a time in eternity past where God was not there. And there'll never be a time in eternity future that God it will not be there. So I understand that God is eternal. But I want you to understand that the eternal God decided that he would give us seven detailed days of how he lived and what he did. And I believe he did it as a pattern for each and every one of us. And I think the practical principles of what we're going to teach this morning will help every single one of us to live more effectively and productively as we go into a brand new year. So let me give you some of those principles. Number one, what can we learn from God a week in the life of God? Number one, God began. He did not procrastinate. God began. He did not procrastinate. I love the very opening phrase there, in the beginning. Now we read this phrase throughout the Bible, in the fullness of time. I love that little phrase, in the fullness of time. You know what? God always made sure that he started something and did something at the exact time it was supposed to happen. And so God has, his creation had a beginning moment. God began something when it was time to do it. Can I say this? When it was time to do it, he did it. One of the things that will help you in your Christian life is to decide to start some things that perhaps you've been thinking about and know that you've been needing to do, but you just have not gotten around to it. I think one of the things that hinders us from accomplishing everything that we ought to accomplish is the sin of procrastination. God began his day. God began creation. He began his day in the evening. I want to point that out because it's significant to what we're going to teach right now here at the first point. Verse 5, God called the light day and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the first day. Notice the wording on that. Most of us would say the morning and the evening were the first day. God said the evening and the morning were the first day. I believe God began his day in the evening to teach us something. You see, the evening is planning time. The night is resting time. And the morning is starting time, doing time. You know what to do in the morning. You're ready to do what you need to do in the morning because, listen to me, you planned it the evening before. We were a more productive nation when every evening the family used to gather on the front porch to talk about the next day and what they would accomplish instead of sitting on the couch in the family room watching the boob tube and having no thought or no conversation about what is going to happen on the next day. I don't know how you are in the morning, but if I had to plan in minute detail the things that I was going to accomplish each day, and I tried to do that when I first woke up in the morning, I would get off to a very slow start. And so we see that God began some things here. Now listen, folks, you still have to get up and start. Even if you plan it the evening before, plan the day the evening before, you still have to get up and you still have to start. Many people are good at planning, but then they procrastinate. They can tell you what they're going to do one of these days. They just never get around to doing it. Now, folks, listen to me. If you want to achieve greatly, you have to be a starter. You have to get it started. How do you build a house? Well, you have to start with a shovel full of dirt. There's always a first step in any great thing that's ever accomplished. How do you write a book? You have to write the first sentence. That's how you write a book. How do you do 50 push-ups? You start by doing one. You start by doing one. How do you win a soul to Christ? Well, you got to knock on that first door. You can sit around wishing it and thinking about it and wanting to do it, but you got to at some point just go out and knock on that first door. Hey, how do you fill up a bus? You got to go find that first new family. How do you get that college degree? You sign up for that first class. The video game giant PlayStation, that company, that corporation PlayStation, advertises its video player and video games with this ridiculous slogan, greatness awaits. Greatness awaits. Let me say, I agree with them. Yes, it does. It awaits those who decide to turn off the PlayStation, put down their controller, set aside their virtual reality goggles, and actually go outside and do something. Greatness does await, but it doesn't await to those that are laying on the couch accomplishing greatness with a video controller. You'll never accomplish anything by putting it off. Did you listen to what I said? You know what? In the beginning, there was a starting point for everything we see and everything that we enjoy. There was a starting point. Procrastination kills dreams. Procrastination derails potential accomplishments. Abraham Lincoln said, "You cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today." One preacher preached a message that I love the title of it. Someday is not a day of the week. Someday is not a day of the week. One man said procrastination is opportunity's natural assassin. And you ought to get that. Procrastination is. I want you to be thinking about something. What was it during all of 2019 that you should have started and you thought about starting and at some point maybe you even planned to start but you haven't got around to it? Hey, let's not get to the end of another year and not do what God has told us to do. An unknown poet wrote this, procrastination is my sin. It brings me naught but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will. Tomorrow. You got it. Tomorrow. Picasso, the great painter, said this. Well, this, you talk about this. You ought to write this down somewhere. Picasso, the great painter, said this. Only put off until tomorrow what you are willing to die having left undone. Only put off until tomorrow what you are willing to die having left undone. Michael Landon, you know, the star of Little House on the Prairie, tragically died at age 54. And you know what? He told America this in an interview. He said this, and I'll quote him. Somebody should tell us right at the start of our lives that we are dying. Then we might live life to the limit every minute of every day. Do it, I say. Whatsoever you should do, do it now. There are only so many tomorrows. This is written on a gravestone in San Diego, California. While I was killing time, I failed to realize that time was killing me. Now, let me just give you that little pep talk and encourage you. I think every single one of you ought to be listening to the Holy Spirit of God. What God wants you to accomplish is not the same as what He wants me to accomplish, but He has purposes for our lives. And so let's decide that if there is something that God's put on our heart to do, that we pick out a definite starting point and starting place and get that thing going in 2020. Number two, God not only started something and didn't procrastinate, but number two, God created and did not destroy. God destroy. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1 says, in the beginning, God created. God created. 1 Corinthians 10:10, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Isn't it interesting that we call God the creator and the devil is known as the destroyer? You say, what's that mean, preacher? That means we ought to get on God's side. If God gave us the example of creating things, then we shouldn't be in the destroying business. You see, God creates and Satan destroys. God builds. Now listen to me, listen to the Holy Spirit. God builds, but Satan tears down. God encourages and Satan discourages. God empowers while Satan deflates. Look at what God did in a week. Look at what He did in a week, folks. He created light and beauty and life. And what does the devil spend his time doing? He brings in darkness and ugliness and death. We can learn something from God. As Christians, we need to be busy creating positive things, not assisting the devil in destroying things that could and should be sacred in our lives. Dedicate your life to spreading the light that God created. Dedicate your life to beauty and life. Don't become a destroyer alongside of the devil. Now, one of the things you have to understand is this. If you dedicate your life to accomplishing great things, you're always going to be criticized by those who have dedicated their lives to destroying what they do not have the character or heart to create. I'd hate to think, come on, I want to just sit there. I want to look at every one of you, listen to me. I'd hate to think that the main purpose of my life is to walk around tearing down things all the time, talking down things all the time. You know what? You've become a brother to the destroyer. If you're going to get up every day and do something, create something positive, don't spend your life tearing things up and destroying things that other people have worked to create. Theodore Roosevelt, who I think is my favorite of all our presidents, he gave a speech in which he called out those who criticized greatness and talked down those who achieved great things. Part of this speech has become known by the title of The Man in the Arena. There's a copy of it that hangs in my shop, and I pull it off the wall every once in a while and read it, and it helps me, so I'm going to read it to you today. He wrote this, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, yeah, he errs, who comes short maybe again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does not actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms and great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at his best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at his worst, if he fails, at least while daring greatly, so that his place shall be never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know no victory nor defeat. I just want to encourage you, do something with your life. I think if you're not careful, I've watched Christians who used to be busy and active for the Lord, and you know what? At some point, they begin to sit in the seat of the scorner, scornful. And you know what? You're sitting there scorning what everybody else is doing, and you have accomplished nothing. Shame on you. Stop criticizing the doers. Get out of the chair. Get away from the negativity and get back busy for the Lord. You young men on the front row, listen to me. Spend your life fighting for right. Decide to be the man in the arena. Achieving great things, making a positive difference. There will always be negative nannies who spend their lives sitting in the seat of the scorners. Don't waste one second of your time worrying about them or listening to anything they have to say. Go into the arena and accomplish great things for the Lord. So God's given us some things here. First of all, God began. Number two, God created. Number three, God created good, not evil. God created good, not evil. God saw everything that he had made. Genesis 1:31. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I won't spend but just a minute on this. But folks, you can create a lot of things, but that doesn't mean the things that you're creating is good and godly and right. There's a one-sentence biography of the life of Jesus Christ. It's found in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you in 2020, do good. Do good work. Let me just say this and challenge you, not only as a Christian, but as an American, do good work. There was a time in our country when people, you know what, they weren't afraid to sign their name to what they had worked on that day. You know what? They understood that whatever they produced was a reflection on themselves. And men used to take pride in craftsmanship and in doing the job the right way. And can I say this? Don't half do things. Parents, I want to encourage you, don't let your children half do things. You know what? Do good work when you go to work every day. Do good works along the way. What does that mean? Look for opportunities to be a blessing and a help as you go about doing whatever your duties are. And then while you're doing good work and doing good works, take some time to spread the good news. Amen. And you know what? God created good, not evil. Let me go to the next one. Number four, God evaluated each day and graded it. I'm going to give you something so practical right here. God evaluated each day and graded it. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 4, and God saw the light that it was good. God saw the light and it was good. The pattern of Jesus or in God in the creation story was to create something, step back, and evaluate it. In Genesis 1:10, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:12, and God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:18, and God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:21, and God saw that it was good. 1:25, and God saw that it was good. And then the conclusion, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And I think he taught us something right there. You know, every single day of our life, I believe there is a starting point and there is a finishing point. The Bible says the evening and the morning was the first day. You say, preacher, why is the evening time so important? I believe the evening ought to serve two purposes. First of all, it gives us time to reflect on the day that we just lived. You know what? You just finished a day. Can you take a step back at the end of it and say what God said? It was good. It was good. You know, I wish that I had God's track record. You know what? Not all of us, not all of our days are going to be good days. But I think every day ought to still be evaluated. You see, folks, watch this. We can learn from every single day we live if we simply stop and evaluate each day. You say, preacher, I had a bad day. Listen to me, I'm going to help you with something. I had a bad day. Well, why did you have a bad day? You know, we can learn as much from failure as we can from success. Just seemed like, preacher, today, just nothing hardly went right, and I just didn't get anything done. Let me ask you a question. Let's put it under the microscope and ask the question, why? Why? Let me ask you, did you take the evening before? Did you have a plan? Okay, did you get a late start and you spent the whole day trying to catch up? You know, folks, a lot of times we just act like bad days are the result of circumstances outside our control. And you know what? Sometimes that will be true. And we can't always control all the circumstances. But Brother Howes used to teach us a little formula, and it's helped me so much in life. He said, when you plan something and it goes very well, he said, take a minute and step back and ask yourself the question, why did it go so well? He said, you ought to study successes. And you ought to come up with a formula, a plan, so that you have a template to repeat that success. Boy, I'm helping you, giving you good stuff this morning. I don't believe in this idea of just wandering from task to task and you know what, just hoping on happenstance that the day goes well. You know why I have a lot of good days? Because I plan on having a lot of good days. And you know why I have a lot of good days and successful days and productive days? Because when I did have those in my past, I came up with a template and a formula. But you know what? Not all my good days have been good days. And you know what? It's easy to want to reflect back on a successful day. Sometimes it's painful to have to reflect back on a day that was full of failure. Say, preacher, this has been a really bad day. Me and my wife, we fussed. And I mean, as far as our marriage today, it was a bad day. You know what? She wanted to go home to her mother, and I wanted her to go home to her mother. And, you know, she wanted to sleep downstairs, and I wanted her to sleep downstairs. And I just, watch it. I just hope it goes better tomorrow. Well, stop hoping. You know, sometimes it's painful to look back on a really bad day and say, why was it a bad day? You know, why did we end up getting into what we ended up? Listen, if the same set of circumstances presents themselves tomorrow, are we just going to repeat the same mess again? Are you listening to me? I'm trying to give you a very practical thing. You have a good day at work, gentlemen, then why did you have a good day at work? If you had a bad day at work, why did you have a bad day at work? Be careful. It's not always everybody else's fault. If we won't learn from our failures, we're going to repeat our failures. And so God, listen, folks, God did not have to create something, step back, and evaluate it and declare it as good. He didn't do that for his sake. He did that to teach us something. And so when you, listen, you've been given a 52 weeks, 365 days. Every single one of them, there's something that you can learn from them. So God evaluated each day and graded it. And we can learn from that. Let me give you another thought. Young people, listen to this one. God finished each project that he started. God finished each project and he started. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, we read this. Thus then heavens and the earth were, what's the next word? Finished. And all the host of them. You know what, folks? God had a goal for every single day. Watch this. And he reached and completed and finished those goals. I do understand that there's some things that you're going to take on, projects in which it's going to take more than one day to complete. But you know what? If you do, you ought to break that project down into daily goals and reach those goals. Some folks I've met are great starters. They've got the in the beginning down. They're just lousy finishers. I had a preacher walk up to me about 2 weeks ago, and it was the hardest thing for me to do, not just laugh out loud when he said this, but he looked at me and he said, you've written several books, haven't you? And he said, I said, yes, yeah, I have. And he said, man, I need to talk to you one of these days. He said, I've actually written 6 books. I said, well, good for you. And he said, well, let me clarify that. I've started 6 books. And I want to just kind of laugh out loud. And he said, you know, I get these ideas and I get them started, but Then I've not got one to the finish line. Now watch this. Adam and Eve wasn't walking through the garden, and Eve say to Adam, "What is that?" And Adam said, "That is half of a cow." Front legs, head. It's kind of, and then that part's gone. It's just kind of flopped over, and it's going like this. Come on. If a lot of Christians had been in charge of creation, that's what it would have looked like right then. I mean, we wouldn't have to have, oh, guess what? What phase of the moon it is? It's a half moon. No, it's always a half moon. That's all we ever got. That's as much as we got. But boy, we had a good start. Come on, say amen or oh me, amen. So we can all relate to that. But let me say this, folks. We've got 52 precious, unblemished weeks ahead. Let's find out what God wants us to accomplish, and let's accomplish it. Let's not just start it. Let's do it. Let's finish it. Let's finish it. Get it to the finish line. Let me tell you this. It takes inspiration to start a project, but it takes perspiration to finish a project. There's a song that my mom used to sing in the beginning years of the church, and it had this phrase in it, "Lord, let me not leave behind an unfinished task." An unfinished task. Let me give you number 6. God elevated his achievements each day. He elevated his achievements each day. Don't get me wrong. Everything God made was amazing. He started with the heaven and the earth and the light and the day and the night. But you know, the Bible says that the earth was void at that time. It was unfinished. And every single day he came back and he elevated his achievements. He took the waters and divided them and created the firmament. And then from the seas he brought forth and gathered them and dry ground and grass and herbs and trees. And then at that point he stops and decides he's going to decorate the heavens with a sun and a moon and a star. And then he goes forward and we see birds and fowls of the air on the fish day and fish and fowls of the air and fish and whales. And then on the 6th day, beasts of the field, cattle, creeping things. And then God creates his crowning glory, the man and the woman in the image of God. And let me just say this, folks. I want to encourage some of you who have been successful up to this point in doing certain things. Why don't you elevate your achievements in 2020? Why don't you ask God to help you to do something that's beyond your comfort zone? You see, folks, success breeds success. And that's why I believe that when young people start, they ought to set reasonable goals and learn to achieve them. Reasonable goals. Parents, this will help you in the rearing of your children. Don't set unreasonable goals for your children. Set reasonable goals for your children, but then see that they accomplish those goals. But then as they grow, then challenge them with elevated goals and challenge them to achieve loftier things. You know what? Don't get satisfied and live in a rut. Don't get satisfied and live in a rut. You know, one man said, a rut is just a grave with the two ends wallowed out. And I think he had a point when it came to that. Reno Likens, I love what Brother Likens always says. When is the last time you did something for the first time? And you know what, folks? I thank God for what he has blessed this preacher to accomplish in 2019. But I want to tell you this. I'm not satisfied with just doing what I did last year again this next year. I want to do more for the Lord than I've ever done before. And I pray that that would be in your heart. Well, preacher, I've learned to be successful at these handful of things, so I'm just going to stay in my comfort zone. Why don't you get outside of your comfort zone a little bit? Why don't you decide to try something bit better and bigger for the Lord? The very last thing I'll give you is this. God gave us in this week that we got to watch it, God gave us one last lesson. God rested one day a week. Genesis chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the 7th day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the 7th day from all his work which he hath made. And God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. You know what we call that day today? We call it the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. I want to congratulate each and every one of you that are here on the very first Sunday of 2020. And those that stayed home today and didn't go to church have absolutely no possibility at the end of the year saying, I gave every Sunday to God. I was at church every single Sunday. You're off to a great start. You know, you want to be successful? You want to have the blessings of God? Put him in his rightful position in the next 52 weeks. If you want to have 52 God-blessed, amazing weeks in 2020, one of the best pieces of advice I can give you is this. Give God the first day of every single week. Be in the Lord's house. Be here for Sunday school. Be here for the Sunday morning service. Come back and be here for our evening service. And I will tell you, you'd be surprised at how many things that takes care of in your life. Well, God said, I'm going to start the Bible. And one of these days, all of the folks in Jasonville will have a copy of God's Word, and they can open to the very first chapter, and they can watch me live out a week, and they can learn how to live a godly, meaningful, productive life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Before I pray with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I sure don't want to miss an opportunity to talk about salvation. Talk about what the Lord Jesus has done for every one of us. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I can tell you this, you're going to have a hard time being successful at anything that really matters in eternity until you receive Christ as your Savior. See, that's the real beginning. That's the real starting point for each and every one of us as Christians. And so if you're here without Christ as your Savior, I would pray and ask that you consider eternity. Just for a moment, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, consider eternity. If you died today, you know for sure that you go to heaven. And if not, we have people here at the church that are trained to take the Bible and show you what the Bible says, not what we think, what the Bible says concerning how to be born again, how to receive Christ as your Savior, how to receive the gift of eternal life. So if you're here without Christ, I would invite you during our invitation to leave your seat, go to the nearest aisle, come to the front. Brother Chad Gordon's standing up here. He'll meet you, he'll greet you, and he'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. For those of you that are already saved, wouldn't it be a great decision, a great start to the year, to come to an old-fashioned altar and just dedicate the year 2020 to the Lord Jesus Christ? Dedicate your life to living out the purposes for which God created you. Heavenly Father, bless our invitation time. Pray for that one that may be here without Jesus, that they'd be saved. We pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we would equip ourselves with these Bible principles as we launch into a brand new year. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we, each and every one of us, dear God, would be able to accomplish and fulfill the purposes for which you've placed us on this earth. Lord, help us to live for something eternal, something meaningful, something that will live way past our short time, our vapor of a life. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name.